I was born bold.
Powered by a 100% Australian electricity and gas retailer. That's Red Energy. Switch today. Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Morning, everyone. Friday. Fun Friday, the 5th of June. Great to have you with us. The McCafe menu has Jason Riles, Craig Bellamy's right-hand man, to join us on game day, and our very good friend who we haven't heard from for quite some time. I hope he's emerged from isolation. Mike Sheen to join us as well. And we've just left it open for you because we love Fun Friday. Your contributions are the most important thing. Life has changed for all of us since the COVID-19, and it changed enormously for us when we stopped seeing our great friend Michael Sheen on a Friday. But despite what he said on a podcast, apparently, where he wouldn't appear on a station that doesn't want me, that's just not true. He has been good enough to join us. Michael, welcome.
Hello, Gaz. Hello, Tim.
I'm excited to be back talking Fun Friday.
I haven't had a Fun Friday for about 8 months, and here it is.
What have you been doing in this isolation period?
What? I'm here, Mike.
Jimmy?
I get to see you. Unlike Gary, I is at a disadvantage here. You don't live far from me, so I get to see you riding your bike around the streets here with your helmet on. Always, you're a responsible rider of a bike, if you don't mind me saying.
Let me paint the picture. Tim does get to see me, but he doesn't bother to talk to me. It's like he's in the Olympic selection trials for walking. He's got his things in his ears, and he waves like the Queen to about 100 people, and he just doesn't stop for anyone, traffic lights included.
He could ride alongside you. You could have a great conversation.
We did that one morning, Tim, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Until you crashed your bike into the tree, and that was the last time we ever went and did that, Mike.
Did you pick me up?
Of course I did. And dusted you off. What have you been doing in this difficult period of isolation?
Well, look, I don't mean to trivialise it, but I've actually had a pretty good time. I've spent 10 weeks at Sorrento. I've had my two daughters there and Kate's two grandkids. So, you know, it hasn't been as difficult for me as it has been for most people. And I've watched a lot of TV shows, you know, TV series and read books. So I've done lots of things that I hadn't bothered or had the time to do previously.
Got a recommendation for our audience? We love a little TV series that we can
enjoy. Well, Gaz, there's a series called Catastrophe. I don't know if you've heard of it. Now, it's very good, but I tell you, it is slightly uncomfortable when you're watching it with your kids. Some of those sex scenes, I was a bit like Tim's old man. When they come on, I get up and make a cup of tea as if it's just coincidental. But it's, I said to one of the girls, I said, look, I like this show, but I think you should watch it upstairs or I'll go upstairs. We can't be doing it together.
Wow. And what about a little book? I like to read as well. Have you been reading something?
I'll tell you, are you interested enough in racing to want to read about a horse? There's a horse called American Pharaoh. It's the most recent winner of the Triple Crown in America. And it's a great book. I loved it. I think you need to be immersed in racing to really enjoy it. But one that will suit you, Gaz. Another one that will suit you.
What? Tim liked racehorsing. He called it last week.
This is the other one that I've just finished and I really enjoyed. It was 50 Years Sober. And it's by a bloke, an Australian guy called Ross Fitzgerald, an academic, an alcoholic's journey. And he said he stopped drinking at 25 because if he hadn't, he would have been dead at 26. And he hasn't missed an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting since. Goes every week to AA just to make sure he stays off the wagon.
Sounds like a very serious book, Mike. Is it?
No, he's a great writer. There's plenty of light moments in it, Tim. No, you'll enjoy it.
Hey, can I ask you this, Michael?
Now you go, Gaz. You're the boss.
I just want to ask, because I've got so many things I want to have a talk to you about. This perception that the AFL have missed the kick here with the NRL starting 2 weeks ago.
That's rubbish, isn't it?
Well, you know, in your old paper this morning, Michael Warner, who's a very good journalist, NRL darts ahead. The AFL misses the board in 2020 reboot. He says we've been left for dead.
Well, we're not even in competition. This is the part that someone was talking about the other day about the AFL should pay for Landy's $30 million or something. I mean, I don't see AFL in competition with the NRL. Do you?
No, I don't.
I mean, we've
everyone
got,
does, though. I mean, there's an insecurity about some, with some people with our great code who think that the world's, or the walls are crumbling down because we're going to start the season 2 weeks later.
Well, not for me. I think it's the AFL have been very responsible in this. Not that I don't have any issue with the NRL, but it is not my code. My preferred football code is Australian football, and I think in the majority of cases that that applies. Even though I'm sure there are some who have got, you know, so allegiances to say Storm and their AFL club, but primarily they're different audiences.
Mm. I concur.
You agree or not?
No, I'm a bit baffled by it all, I think.
Are you listening to me, Gaz?
I'm talking to you. I said I'm a bit baffled by this whole question.
I am too, Mike. I'm letting Gary ask the questions because you and I had a nice conversation yesterday, and I know Gary hasn't spoken to you for a while, so sounds like he's dried up already, though, Mike.
I thought Gaz hasn't been showing you a lot of respect, I don't think, in recent times. For I don't know if that's a broad view. For Timbo.
Don't you fall into that nonsense.
Well, I think it used to be the partnership when I was here on Fun Friday, but I think it's definitely Gary won now and Tim when it suits him.
Well, we're doing it remotely, Michael, and sometimes the wisp wanders off and gets his muesli in the morning and all of a sudden I find myself talking to myself.
And enjoying it.
Hey, Mike, you love your footy. We know that. You love your AFL football. This week there's been Hall of Fame inductions. Jonathan Brown, when I say the name Jonathan Brown, what comes readily to mind for you?
Just his big, bold personality and his courage on the footy field. And the other thing I think that sometimes gets forgotten, his propensity to kick a goal when it had to be kicked. I love blokes who can do that under pressure because that's something I could never do. And just as I think Brownie was just the master at that. And people, you had to love watching Brownie play, don't you think? No question
absolutely.
About his courage.
Absolutely. Does he match, you know, the big characters that have been in our game over the years, the big alpha male type characters that have been in our game? Does he match the biggest that we've ever been able to produce in our game, do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think there's a bit of EJ about Brownie. He just doesn't worry about conventions, and he's, you know, he's a big. If he's in a room, he's the most. He's the dominant figure. I mean, you know, I see him on television. He's even brave enough to challenge Gaz and talk over the top of him. So he's the full package for me, Brownie.
We asked this question the other day. If you had Revolt, Nick, that is, Brown and Carey on the couch or on a panel, who's got the biggest presence and who's the alpha there?
No, I think Brownie is. I think I love Nick Revolt. I do. I think Nick Revolt is probably made one of two or three blokes who have made the smoothest transition from playing ranks to the media. I love how he thinks about his football and what he says and his willingness to offer his true opinion. I still would have Brownie as the one who I would think at the end of the show you'd talk about what Brownie had said or the way he made his point. Well, you work with him, Gaz. What do you think?
No, I love working with him as well for all those very same reasons. And I agree, Revolt has been a revelation, and I don't reckon Duck would take a backward step, so I think it'd be a very interesting panel.
He never has.
No, he doesn't. Hey, Mike, in this abbreviated season, do you think at the end of all this, when we get the best team and the premiership team, do you think there will be an asterisk alongside that?
No, that's another thing I can't understand. If we play 17 games in a final series, it won't devalue the premiership for the team that wins. No way. I just think that's illogical to think like that. 17 games. It's not like we're going to play 4 weeks, is it? That's a very good sample where everyone plays each other once. And the final series will be on the traditional formula. So, no, I couldn't understand. It's like a lot of things in the last 3 months, Tim. Lots of things have gained headlines and been talked about a lot because there's nothing else to talk about.
Been a lot of bluing, a lot of people having barneys with each other along the way.
Well, because we probably, the thing that occupies us is not there, is it? If the football were being played, those things wouldn't happen, Gaz.
No, and this is in your wheelhouse, Eddie McGuire and Sam McClure, the old and the young, or the older and more experienced and the younger journalist had a blue the other day about whether or not it would have been appropriate to ask Jack Stephen, as he walked into the rooms at Geelong to go to training, to ask the question, what happened on the night that you got stabbed. Now, Eddie said you had to ask the question. If not, you could get in your car and drive off. And Sam McCool said, no, in this day and age, you don't. What say you?
Yeah, no, I think I don't agree with you totally with your reading of it. I think Eddie said that you find out. I don't think he said you had to find out from Jack. You just had to find out.
And, he said you had to ask the question, didn't he?
No, he said you had to ask the question. You had to ask the question of Jack. Jack was going into training.
Well, I didn't hear. I thought he said you had to find out what happened. And that's my clear understanding of what he said, and I agree totally with him. And I'm saying it would have happened 15 or 20 years ago. I mean, I understand Sam saying that he's sympathetic to Jack Stephen, but it's a huge story in the context of football, and we still don't know what happened.
Yeah, 20 years ago, though, players wouldn't have known whether a player had a mental issue or not, or whether they'd suffered from depression and had anxiety, or that type of thing, right? We do know that about Jack.
That's
He's
true.
Had some troubles in that area. So, what Sam McClure was saying was that because of the fact that you know that, therefore you don't force the issue with somebody when you understand that they have a condition.
Yeah, that's noble. I accept that of him, but I'm on Eddie's side of this. I think it's a massive story in football, and I mean we can't sit there as the spiritual counsellor and the medical expert and decide what sort of questions we can and ask people. I mean that's not
guess.
Our job.
No, you can't second guess with someone.
No, and yeah. our job is to say this is a major incident that's happened, and we have a responsibility to tell football people as much as we know about it, or as much as we can find out about it.
It's like a light's gone on for me hearing you again speak and espouse your views. It is, and our audience concur. They just love the fact that you're back giving them the benefit of your wisdom.
Well, to be fair, just one serious. I loved working with you two, and I was sorry that it didn't continue.
Why is it the past tense?
Well, because that's it. I was told that I wasn't required.
This is the COVID period. Mike. We were going to make adjustments during COVID, but don't you worry about that, my friend. We'll be going into bat for you.
I feel like one of those folks who's done 15 pre-seasons and suddenly... And Mike, you got a minute? Yeah, yeah, sure.
Hey, Mike.
Look, you know, we love you. It's been good, but
Mike,
on your bike, son.
No
Mike,
chance.
in the words of Dennis Cometti, you've been centimetre perfect this morning, my friend. Centimetre perfect.
Hey, Michael.
No, I've enjoyed talking to you. Yes, Gaz.
How's my piano or Nikki's piano going?
Oh, what about you?
What?
I had it wrapped up with a bow on it, ready to be collected, and that was 9 weeks ago.
Well, I'm not allowed to go around to your house yet.
Why not?
Because of the whole coronavirus. As soon as I am, I'm coming around to get it. Is it still there?
I haven't got it. I haven't got coronavirus.
Leave it on the nature strip. Leave it on the nature strip. The wisp will pick it up and I'll deliver it to Gary, okay?
You're a great man, Jim. As are you, Gary.
And let's all get in on the act, as are you. Thanks so much for taking our call, and it may not be the last time.
Nice to talk to you, boys.
Wisp, we love our Melbourne Storm in this town. Don't you worry about that. We were disappointed with their return on the NRL recommencement last week against the very good Canberra Raiders, it has to be said. Jason Ryles played 249 games in the NRL, representing both New South Wales and Australia. He's Craig Bellamy's right-hand man. Been good enough to join us. Morning, Jason.
Morning, guys.
Disappointing start. We're here second-hand, it has to be said, that Craig wasn't too impressed.
Yeah, no, it was a disappointing start. It was obviously a fair bit change in the game from when we last played it in round two, but at the same time, Craig didn't miss him after the game, and I think at the end of the day, Canberra beat us at the punch and all the little things, so a little bit of an attitude adjustment and refocus this week.
What was the most disappointing part about it?
Oh, I think obviously the opportunities that we left out there on the field, but then also they beat us to the punch with the little things in regards to effort areas, so that was probably the most disappointing part.
What about the adjustments now, Craig? Jason, what adjustments have you now... I forgot who I was talking to. What about the adjustments now that you've had to make in the week?
Different wage there, Tim, so different salary grade. The adjustments this week, so obviously with the rules And the one referee is probably the biggest change with the speed of the play of the ball. So that's one thing that we've had to adjust to, and playing a lot flatter style of footy rather than setting up for your shape. So it's that's one area that we've worked hard on this week. Also, defensively, you don't get as much time in the tackle. So that's one thing we've had to really focus on, and basically not retrain, but just do a bit of re-education with the referees and their vocab and that sort of thing with, buying time and to play the ball defensively.
Hey, Jason, I understand what you mean when you say play a little bit flatter, but Gary probably is just struggling to understand exactly what it is that you mean by that. Can you just explain it to Gary, playing a little bit flatter?
Yeah, so playing a little bit flatter. So that's basically, traditionally, over the last 10 years, with the referee and the play the ball speed, it's a little bit slower. So what happens there is you have to set up for plays, and it's a lot more structured. Basically, it's a lot less structured, a lot more eyes up footy, and a lot like playing in the backyard, so to speak. So it's really good for the fans. It's really good for the game. It's just going to take a little bit of adjustment for some of the teams, in particular our guys, because we can be a little bit methodical at times. But at the same time, it's really exciting coaching challenge for us, and a really exciting challenge for our group, because I'm not sure if the recruiters meant this, but our squad really suits this style of footy as well. So, we've got Munster, Hughes, Ryan Pappenhausen, who are really ad-lib type footy players. So, and then you put Cameron Smith in there in the middle of the field. So the ability to play unstructured is going to suit us. It's just going to take a little bit of adjustment.
Jason, I'm glad you mentioned Smithy's name, because it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. He's not our problem at the moment, is it? He hasn't been a little bit slow to pick up the new changes in the game, is he?
Nah, definitely not. He's been all over it, especially this week. And again, with the new changes, and again, probably the biggest thing is the one referee. It's really going to suit his style of footy. He can really get out, and the more often that Cameron's got the ball in his hands, the better for our footy team, and this is really going to suit that.
Great.
Coming into this game against the Rabbits, I've had a look at it. Our completion rate in round three, the second worst in the competition at around 69%. The Rabbits had the second best completion rate at around 85%. That's a concern for me.
Is it really a concern for you?
That's what's got written here.
No, that's fine. You're on the right track. It's basically, if you don't hold the footy, you don't give yourself a chance to compete in the game. So, in particular, I'll throw another stat out there for you, Gary. It's when we were attacking the try line, we were down to 50%, so it was even worse. So, it's one thing that I thought you did. Yeah, it's one thing we certainly need to work on, and we have this week. And it has a lot to do with the speed of the play. The ball's a lot quicker now, so things are happening a lot quicker for the players. So, again, it's getting into position earlier, it's communicating, it's all those little things that Canberra were much better than us last week, and we got a real lesson in how to play it.
I watched the first half, and on a serious note, it was breathtakingly quick. And did the players, like when you talk to them afterwards, was it noticeable? Did they come off like more tired as a result of the way the game was played?
Yeah, I think like when they start talking about let's get more fatigue into the players, they needed to come into the sheds the last 10 years because the players were tired anyway. So it's just a different type of fatigue. It's much quicker. They get less time to think. And after the game, they were noticeably tired, but just a little bit shocked, so to speak, in regards to how quick it was. And again, that's just part of that readjustment.
Hey, what about Bellyache? He's coming up against his old mentor in Wayne Berry. Is there anything? Does he sort of get himself up a little bit more for these challenges in the coach's box?
Oh, he probably doesn't think so, but you certainly do notice a little bit of a lift in intensity during the week when we play a Wayne Bennett coach team. So, and I think it's only natural. It's playing against a guy that he spent a fair bit of time under before he came down here. So, but again, we've really focused on what happened last week and adjusting to that. So, I think he was more concerned at the fact that the Raiders beat us to the punch in those little effort areas.
Hey, we've adopted Ryan Pappenhausen as our man here. He's a regular on our show, and he was one that certainly didn't lower his colours on the weekend. How good can he be?
Yeah, perhaps he's, again, it's with the one referee and the speed of the play, the ball, it's really suited to him. So perhaps his background is not only rugby league, but also touch footy. So if you ever watch a game of touch footy, times that speed that you've seen last week by about five, it's fast. So one of Ryan's real strengths, and we try and encourage him to play to it as much as he can, is his express speed. So, and again, his awareness in and around the footy. So this increased play the ball speed is certainly going to suit him. And again, with a bit of luck with injuries, and if he keeps working as hard as he does at the moment on his game, you don't know where those guys can get to.
Exactly. He's a fine, fine player, great athlete. So, hey, Jason, have you ever heard anyone ever referred to the Rabbitohs as the Rabbits before? Are they the Bunnies, or are they generally just the Rabbitohs?
Yeah. Traditionally, they're the Rabbitohs, but up in New South Wales and Queensland, they're the Rabbits, and a lot of the time they get called the Bunnies, so it depends what you like saying.
Yeah, Tim, that's right. So take that. hey, were you going to go and join Eddie Jones's English setup at the end of this year?
Yeah. So I've heading over there after this season. So that's why I was sort of watching the COVID stuff so closely. So our season finishes end of September, depending on how far you go into the finals, and then after that, head over there and take up an opportunity to work with Eddie, and again. It was just part of, I've seen the opportunity to develop as a coach, like just always looking to get, to improve as all the players are as well and everyone in life, I suppose. So it's a pretty unique opportunity. But for me, it's about the experience as a coach and being exposed to, something different and something I'm going to have to think about and really adapt to.
Absolutely sensational experience it will be. Hey, Jason, we loved you joining us this morning, mate. We're right behind the Storm. They're taking on the Bunnies live on Channel 9 at 5 to 8, and we'll be watching with great interest. Thanks for giving us some time this morning.
Thanks for your time, guys. Appreciate it.
Schneider, will he give it to Riebold? He will. Riebold runs it. Touched up the boots. Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Wonderful chase by Heath Shaw. He came up behind him like a librarian. He never heard him. Oh, no surprise, everybody else in the library.
Yes, committee inducted into the Hall of Fame, one of his all-time greats. That's a special comments, man, when you're working with Dennis. You had to just, sometimes you're so keen to get in and, give your analysis or whatever, but you had to pause a beat, whisper, because he just may have had a little gem like that coming out. And you might have heard, I'm not sure who that was, the special comments man there, but he was sort of trying to get in, but
bit messy.
Someone would have grabbed his arm and said, hey, give the champ some time. Hey, some great texts coming through. I just want to say, we can't read them all out, but they have made us laugh. This one we can read out. Hugh Hefner would have been a great owner for the Sydney Swans. That's Paul from Rockhampton, given that Collingwood have been approached. How's that? A two-car collision. Both with the same rego.
Dennis is up and down a bit. What about
no,
this?
It's not.
There's Crudafidi's, more vowels than the possessions today.
Yours is terrible. That's a shame.
Darren's in
one.
Doreen. Darren, straighten it up, please. Have you got a Dennis committee for us this morning?
I love Dennis, but I haven't got a line off the top of my head. But what I used to do is watch the games back the next day because he's too quick for me. So I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's clever. Yeah, especially in grand finals and big games.
He was fantastic. He was absolutely – he was one of those great commentators too who just got and captured the right words at the right moment. What about this one, Gary? A lot of talk these days about the inside players. Well, as we saw there, if Simon Black was any more inside, he'd be a pancreas.
I think that's a made-up one. I'm not sure Dennis said that. Did Darren have something else for us?
Oh, yes, I did. I think Melbourne will finish top four and Hawthorne. And everyone says, well, who's going to go out? It'll be Geelong and Collingwood to go out.
You've been Darren? Up all night, Darren?
No. I actually had a good sleep. I'll explain quickly. Collingwood, they've got a lot of injuries, and I don't think the season's too short for them to recover. They'll finish probably fifth still. And Geelong won't finish in the... They'll probably finish about ninth, something like that, ninth or tenth.
She is, Darren. I would like you to be right, but I don't share your optimism for the Demons top four. We're going to do... We'll have a real good look at the teams next week when in the build-up to the first game next Thursday night. But I haven't got the Demons in the top four, Dazzler, but appreciate that. What about this? Angie's in Cairo, Egypt. Welcome, Angie.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
This is just extraordinary. Oh, what's happening over there in Egypt?
Hang on. Hang on, Ange. Gaz's going to ask you. How old are you? Ange?
Hang on. I'm very old. Don't worry. How are you both?
We're going well. Tell us the story about how you find yourself in Egypt today.
I live and work here. I'm a Brisbane girl.
Right.
And... you know, I've listened to your podcast, getting a bit emotional, for a while. And I don't know, even since the lockdown, you guys have just been amazing and my friends. So I've been up late tonight, so I just took the chance to ring in.
Angie, you have made our day, our week,
and
our month.
I don't know why. Why are people so mean to you on the text message?
Well,
what's wrong with people?
We like reading out the ones that are mean. We do get 98% of good positive stuff, but we just like to balance it up to keep us honest, Angie. We don't take it personally, and any mean message we've had this year has been put to rest by your call today. It's just a joy to hear your voice.
Listen, Gary, don't worry about your dancing on the TikTok. It's all right.
No, it was terrible.
How long have you been over there, Angie?
Oh, many, many years. So I was here during the revolution, and now I'm here during a pandemic, which I didn't think I would be, but I am here. And I'm in education, so I'm here for international kids. And we're hoping that we'll get back to school in September. And I'll sit out the summer here, and looking forward to having the footy back on the Fox channel, which I get on the app, Gary. So
fantastic.
I see the little show, you'll be happy to know. I don't get any.
I was just going to say the little show. The little show is still going ahead, and I'm a big, big fan of the little show, Angie, as I'm sure a lot of people over there in Egypt are.
Oh, look, we're lined up, yeah.
Angie, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for being a part of our show. That's made our day. So we loved hearing from you, and we'd give you the $200 ASICS voucher, but I'm not sure there's an active feed over there in Egypt, is there?
Well, no, but, you know, through the Fox app. But it was just really moving during the week, the legends and the Hall of Fame, and especially as a Brisbane girl, what those Fab Four did to convert lots of us, you know, never underestimate that. When people are talking about, you know, getting rid of clubs and new clubs and things, and, you know, talking about the Gold Coast, you know, just remember, I wouldn't have known AFL if it wasn't for Brownie in the 90s. So, you know, keep the faith, peeps, and wishing them all the best. And what a thrill to talk to you.
It's bigger, no bigger thrill for us, Angie. Thanks so much for calling in. You've made our fun Friday, and you've made our week. So we appreciate that, and we loved hearing from you. That's Angie in Cairo in Egypt, who's a Brisbane supporter who listens via the app Wispy and watches the little show. That's made my day. Let's get some news headlines. We'll get back to Phil and Michael and our other callers after the headlines.
Lexus of Brighton. Incredible drive-away pricing. Ready when you are.
Thank you, Meredith. The latest in sport for National Tiles Trade Club. Save up to 10% off tiles and trade products. Exclusions apply. I hope Angie, and she still will be listening over in Cairo, she has got a brand new fan club, Wisp. Have a look at all our messaging coming through here about how great a caller Angie was.
She was great, and it was great to hear from her. It's always great, too, to hear people's story about how they attach themselves to the AFL game, isn't it? Like seeing Jonathan Brown up there in Brisbane, then she got on board, and now she's an AFL fan, and still supports the AFL and the Brisbane Lions over there in Egypt. That was a great call, and we're getting a lot of great feedback too about Dennis Cometti's inducted into the Hall of Fame last night. I love this one, Gary. Mm. I love this one. This is talking about Brent Harvey.
Yep.
He might be the only guy in the competition whose feet appear in his driver's license photo.
Tim, so far...
I'm getting a lot of good feedback too.
So far they said, why does Tim sound like John Wayne? when he does his Dennis committee, that's exactly who I went to. Wispy, not a great day for the West Australian over in Perth. The first edition of their papers come out. They got the great Komet on the front page and they spelled his name wrong.
No.
That is not a great result.
No. So it ain't so.
He writes a column for the paper, I'm told. And
how did they spell his name? One N in Dennis.
Double M-E-double-T-I. Now, I'm not saying that's not a mistake that we could all make, but as a newspaper,
you'd want to check it, wouldn't you?
You'd do a fact check. So that won't take anything away from the great commit. Don't worry about that. Mike
Sheen.
That
would be like spelling Gary on the front page of the Herald Sun with one R. For goodness sake.
That mistake gets made. Hey, we'll be back Tuesday, Wispy. It's the long weekend.
It is.
So thank you, everyone, for being a part of our show. Loved it. Mm. Your contributions have been superb. It's Hot Take Cane Corns up next, Wispy.
Yes. I'm about to put my caftan on, and I'm going to light some more incense, Gary, and I'm just going to relax over the next few days.
You have a great weekend, Wisp, and everyone out there, be safe, and we'll be back on Tuesday.